If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
It's 105. Is 105 something? I think it's still just in the kind of American infantry regiment category.
105, trying to thrive.
Try to thrive. That's good advice.
105, try to thrive. I was recently on a rhyme-based online panel show, Pierre, called Sounds Like.
Oh, yeah.
It's devised and hosted by some young legends of the British battle rap scene.
Oh, right, yes.
So I've had my rhyme hat on for a while. Do check it out. It's on the episode I'm on is now on YouTube. I'll put them on my Twitter as well. The show's called Sounds Like, and I had to do like a live battle rap, like a gentle version.
A gentle version.
Well, just like we were given a rhyme scheme, and we had to pass it between each other, and you know you had to just keep responding in the rhyme scheme, but you'd only just heard the rhyme scheme, and these are they're like multi-syllabic rhymes, so I don't know. So like the rhyme scheme you're given is Call of Duty. And
right.
So the rhyme you have to come up with, it doesn't just end with T or ooty, it rhymes with aw or ooey.
Yeah.
Like a hall of booty or something.
Right,
like
okay, and a ball of fruity.
Yeah. A fruity ball.
A fruity ball, yeah.
But it's fun to check it out. It's a good show they've got.
Do you consider yourself a natural battle rapper?
Well, in one of the rounds, they were quite impressed with what I did. And in one of the rounds, I embarrassed myself how bad I was. So I guess on balance, I'm fine.
That's a good balance, yeah. And also it's good for entertainment. Like that's if you had a guest on a show like that, that's what you'd want.
Yeah, exactly. If I just got on there and just tore everyone apart and I was just really serious about it.
Yeah, you'd looked up stuff about their family. Really harsh stuff. Do you think... I was just thinking about this, because battle rap is poetry, isn't it?
I would say so.
Yeah, so... So, here's a theory. Anything done sufficiently quickly is cool and aggressive, even if, in its slow or written down form, it is seen as incredibly old-fashioned and lame by the kind of people who would like it if it was fast and aggressive.
Yes. I was thinking this actually about chess, because you know I'm playing a lot of online chess at the moment.
Yeah.
And I was like, how would you impress someone cool with chess? And it just have to be the really fast version of chess, where people are like, da-da-da-da-da-da. That's the only way you can impress anyone.
Yeah. If it's the only way that you can visualize your skill without them knowing enough about chess to know that you're good.
Exactly.
But yeah, so quick poetry is cool and aggressive and street. Quick portraiture.
Quick portraiture, like the caricature artists.
Yeah, or just like a really quick, like... street mural on a wall, yeah, cool.
Yeah. Whereas when you see how those really intricate murals are made, they're like whole teams of people with cranes, and it takes days.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas I'm talking one of those like videos you'll see on Twitter or TikTok or whatever, where it's like a guy setting up the camera on the floor at a low angle, and he just kind of goes like. With a spray can, and you're like, "Whoa, what? That doesn't look like anything." And then he adds like one line, and you go, oh, "It's Tupac." And it's on
it's
like
always
a,
Tupac.
It's always Tupac. Tupac. I think I think in America there's some kind of law, federal law. Unless you're within Brooklyn, then it has to be Biggie Smalls.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it's Tupac, yeah. Caricatures, yeah, that's quick enough to be sort of cool. Battle rap is poetry.
Cooking?
Yeah, cooking. Just really quickly.
Because like baking is not cool.
No, because you have to
wait. Oh, making a roast is not cool.
No, because you have to wait. Flipping a pancake is cool.
That's right. Flipping a pancake is cool. A stir fry is cool.
Yeah, anything with flames. Flames that's right. Leaping yeah, yeah, yeah. Up. That's good. What else is... I'm trying to think... other slow, lame things. Going on a lovely country walk.
Right. But if you run a country walk, that's not cool, though.
But sprinting through the countryside, like doing like a running thing. That's cooler, though.
It is cooler. You look like you're in a Nike ad or something.
Yeah.
Sex is the one, actually. Sex is the only one which is less cool the quicker you do it.
Yeah, if you're yeah, it's slow as like Barry White, isn't it?
Exactly. Whereas if you're like, done! People make fun of you.
Or even if you last a normal amount of time, but you do it like, like a horrible rabbit. And people will go, what the fuck? Where's the sexy Barry White attitude here?
Where's the confidence?
Where's the confidence?
That's the important thing. It's just like, yeah. It's the only one where it reveals a lack of confidence to do it quicker rather than slow.
Yeah, it implies that you're not sure if you'll reach the destination you want to.
Oh, hey, did you watch the television event of the week?
I actually didn't.
Oh.
I actually didn't. I even got confused because I didn't realize it was on like a day early in America, right?
And yes. So the,
it was shown
Harry
in
and Meghan interview, the interview of a British prince, was on in America first.
Yeah. But then, because it was on in America a day early, all the articles and write-ups were done. So I was like, oh, I presumed it had been done in the UK. And then everyone on Twitter was like, oh, it's coming. And I was like,
yeah,
what?
It's quite interesting. It's like, it's rare that news gets a teaser.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was, yeah. I mean, I read all the... you know, I kept up to date, though, Phil. I had Twitter open, looked at the lash, then the backlash, then the backlash lash, then the backlash.
Well, here's where you and I are opposite at the moment. I actually made sure not to look at Twitter because it would make me angry, and I actually watched the real thing. So I watched the full 2 hours and didn't look at a single comment on Twitter.
This is like Children of Men. He's the only man on Earth with an untainted take. He's got takes.
We are like some ancient myth where each of us gets half of the picture. And only together we are the smartest being in the world, but apart we only have half of the picture each.
That's right, yeah. We have to kind of connect two bits of a kind of gem on a necklace.
But you know what? I thought it's funny that... it was it was on an ITV, the Harry and Meghan interview was on an ITV a day after it was on in America.
Yeah.
Presumably just because the Queen couldn't figure out a VPN. She's like, how do you click the flag thing of the... and I pick America. Pick this one? Oh, that's Puerto Rico. Oh, this one? That's Chile. Oh, I hate all these...
This one is faster, but it wants $7 through PayPal.
Yeah, so ITV went, you know what, we'll put it on for you. Turn on channel 3. Channel 3, 9 p.m. Number 3. No, that is ITV. No, it's the same thing. Number, yeah.
Yeah. It's not a different channel. We're telling you the number on the knob.
No, it's not on Netflix. You don't have to put it on Netflix.
It's a...
No, Netflix isn't a channel. No. No, Netflix isn't a channel. This is just your regular TV, but it's channel 3. All right. You're okay. Thank you. That's all right, Mom. All right.
That's a good idea. Just having to formulate a response to if an old person asks you if Netflix is a website. You're like, well, in the sense that everything is, I suppose.
But it has a website. I don't know if you'd say it's in essence a website.
Can you imagine what would happen if the BBC had shown it?
The bias, British bias company.
The British bias company. That's Harry should have turned to the camera and looked down the lens and said, "You want to see this on the BBC?"
Of course, it's the classic. You won't see this on the BBC.
It's the
you
purest example.
You won't,
apart from pornography, perhaps.
Well, depends how artistic it is, how artistically it has been integrated into the drama,
or how decadent your imagination is.
But it was good watching, for the most part.
What are your hot takes, Phil? They're fresh and preserved, and no other human hand has touched them.
My hot takes are that our preview assessment was pretty much right.
Yeah,
it's 2 hours of. Imagine the cage that is made of gold. it is all basically 2 hours of that.
I was a royal, but also I had a job. It was the worst of every possible world.
And, you know, Meghan highlighted a couple of more serious issues, some mental turmoil that she went through, and something racist one of the royals said, who they will not name, but is obviously just Prince Philip.
Oh, they've said it wasn't the top two.
Well, is Prince Philip considered the top two?
The Queen and the Duke of Edinburgh are the top two, yeah.
So it wasn't... Oh, wait, so they've said... This is a thing.
They've come out and said, okay, but not those two.
It's so, like, schoolyard. The whole thing is so schoolyard. The whole fucking... I didn't make Kate cry. She made me cry.
Yeah, yeah.
And I won't tell you who said it. Okay, was it Prince Philip? Okay, no, it wasn't him.
Was it the Queen?
It wasn't the Queen.
Definitely not the Queen, no.
No, she's cool. We're cool. but it was one of the others. And I'm not going to tell you who it is. It was 1 2-hour long equivalent of typing onto Facebook. You just can't trust some people sometimes. And Oprah commenting underneath, oh, babes, what's happened? And then replying, oh, I don't want to talk about it. It's 2 hours of that.
It's 2 hours of Oprah repeatedly saying, UK hun. Also, like, in terms of someone saying, but how black will the child be? I mean, that could be any one of them. That could be any member of the royal family saying that. That could be one of the... That could be Prince George. That could be a 7-year-old.
Yeah.
Given the context they live in, that could genuinely be the youngest member asking a blunt, sort of racially tense, awkward, rude question about a new child.
Or it could be Prince Andrew, who at this point has nothing to lose.
He could say whatever he wanted, and no one would remember. Or if they did remember, they'd forget the pedo stuff.
Or at this point, it's a drop in the ocean.
The fact that, like, the Daily Mail, like obviously the press hounded and bullied Meghan Markle and were racist. That's beyond doubt. Those are the two things the British press does. Bully people and be racist. And if they can bully someone and be racist at the same time, so much the better.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's brilliant.
Saves a lot of time for them, a lot of money, a lot of ink. But the idea that the Daily Mail's headline today is, like, the worst royal crisis in 85 years. You think,
is that what it says?
Yeah. And you just think, right, so the Prince Andrew best friend is a paedophile with a paedo island that he visited thing. Visiting him after he's been in jail for being a paedo. That's fine. All the Diana Charles stuff in the 90s, that's fine. But this lady getting rid of a royal who was never going to be the king anyway. And the lady saying, I had a bad time, and I'm American, and I'm mixed race. That's the worst thing in the world.
Yeah.
Those three things are the worst thing in the world in the eyes of the Daily Mail, which makes nothing but sense given its brand, but you have to admire their commitment to being absolutely insane.
The royals or the papers?
Both, mainly the Daily Mail.
Yeah.
The papers don't, like, no paper has a commitment to being insane as profoundly as the Daily Mail. They every day they show up.
Well, that's they've painted themselves into a corner. That's their market. That's the people they serve. People who are, if not themselves crazy, certainly like to entertain the insane sides of their personalities.
Yeah, it's like rage porn for them, I guess.
Yeah.
And obviously, but it's wildly successful because all my friends who complain the most about the Daily Mail and its awful coverage are always on its website.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the amount of times I've seen, well, back, you know, back when I was heavily on social media, the amount of times when people would just post a link to Daily Mail story going, "This is disgusting. What a rag the Daily Mail is." And I'm just sat there thinking, well, good on you. Sort of widening their reach ever so slightly. Well done. You've really shown them there, given them all that free circulation.
Given that they're a business model that you know as well as I do is only about publicity and clicks. Like, that's how it makes its money. There's no other way it makes its money anymore.
Yeah. You're essentially saying, this is the Daily Mail's GoFundMe. You should add a couple of pounds by clicking.
But yeah, I mean, even people, yeah, who hate the Daily Mail and stuff, but I mean, they'll go on it to browse it. I mean, that's how addictively they've designed the website, especially the sidebar of shame.
Oh yeah, I mean, the sidebar of shame is similar to the Twitter infinity scroll. I think someone on Twitter, like, we always forget these things were invented, and the infinite scroll was invented, I think, or was it a guy at Facebook invented it? But the infinite scroll, which, you know, I fall victim to all the time, where it never ends. So you just keep going and going and going and going.
There should be, I would love it if some really meddling country like Switzerland or Luxembourg is going to pass a law at some point saying, okay guys, there's infinite scroll is illegal now. You can't have it. And I'm going to move there because it's really bad for you.
you just see the story in The Times as you open it. Over a lovely breakfast, and you look at over your moon half moon glasses, and you says, "Luxembourg has banned infinite scroll." All right, and just quietly wrap up the paper, and you pack away your stuff, and you put on a beige trench coat, and you whistle for a taxi, and just
I carefully put my breakfast in my pockets.
Just take me to Luxembourg.
Luxembourg City, please. No, one way. Just to be really clear with anyone watching. It's so bad for you. But yeah, I mean, I know people who are like committed intellectual progressives who are just like infinitely scrolling past pictures of women in bikinis that I've never heard of, who've had a fight with another woman in a bikini who I've never heard of.
These are important fights. Yeah.
Do you know that thing where, like, sometimes you read a book like Lord of the Rings, or you come to maybe a television series like Game of Thrones or something like long running, and you accidentally watch an episode from like season 15?
Yeah.
And you're just like, I can't, this is exhausting because so much is being implied that I'm supposed to know, and I can tell I'm missing most of this.
Yeah.
Or when Tolkien in Lord of the Rings is like, "Ah, Benathor, the son of Grandliol, who fought thousands of years ago," and it just goes on and on. That's the feeling I get when I look at someone like over their shoulder as they scroll down the sidebar of shame, because it's just like, you'll never guess what Tizzy said to Marbella tonight, like last night at the Fuck Shack. And I was like, "What Fuck Shack? I haven't even heard of the people involved. I don't know if it's a location or a film."
Huh? Fuck Shack.
Fuck Shack.
There's a Fuck Shack now. That's you. Saying that out loud over the person's shoulder. What? There's a Fuck Shack now. And they're like, "Who are you?"
Yeah. Like, the amount of like, I've had to learn to survive about Married at First Sight and then Married at First Sight Australia.
Yeah, I was confused. I thought there only was one and it was in Australia.
No, it turns out there's more than one. And now I know that. And now I have an opinion on some of the Australian people. Which I don't need to have. They'll never come up again.
Well, they will come up again when it's celebrity married at first sight. But all the celebrities are just people who were on a previous series of Married at First Sight.
Yeah,
and sort of gained some level of notoriety.
Yeah, an infinitely recursive loop.
Yeah.
And the host of Married at First Sight season 5 is the winner of the first one, and this kind of like... In the same way that like the one main character who survives from every horror movie has to be tortured by the serial killer again. Like they've got, in like Saw 7, they've got people from Saw 2, you know.
That's right.
Every, whenever they do that with someone that's like hosting or on a show again in season 5 when they were on in season 1, like a reality show, it should show them like waking up in the Big Brother house having been kidnapped and just, just screaming as they look around at the colourful walls. They said it was over. They promised I was free. As they slam their fists on the plywood.
In a way, you are free, but now you have to do it to other people as host.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I just... it's, you're not supposed to know or remember this many people. It's not good for you.
Well, what is it? The Dunbar number, right?
Dunbar number, 150.
150. We're only designed to know 150 people.
Yeah.
And now, every day, we are sort of asked to expand that to thousands. Thousands of people.
Just like most people could probably name, if they really sat down, 150 celebrities who they've never met.
Yeah.
So what does that do to your Dunbar number? Because it's like, well, I don't remember half my primary school class, but I do remember Brad Pitt, so...
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it?
I remember who he is, because he's Brad Pitt. And we were in Fight Club together, my brain thinks.
Yeah, gosh. Do you think Brad Pitt takes up one of your Dunbar numbers, or is it someone? Does it have to be someone you feel you have some relationship with? So someone you reply to on Twitter, someone you message, you know?
Do you think
does it require some interaction?
Yeah. Do you think he takes up a Dunbar number, or do you think he's in the memory area of the brain reserved for like gods and mammals?
Yeah. Exactly.
Like, I remember Brad Pitt in the way that maybe our Stone Age ancestors who had the Dunbar number correct would remember Kaluki, the god of rain.
Yeah, I've always seen a real Kaluki vibe in Brad Pitt.
I think, yeah, god of rain, his crinkly face in the clouds.
He certainly makes the ladies wet.
And the men, by pissing out of envy? Does that work?
Well, that's how it works for me.
Yeah. You know what they say, see a handsome man, piss. Pants. Yeah.
Handsome man, piss in pants. That's almost a multi-syllable.
See, yeah, I'm trying to think how you could see a handsome fella. Like, you could change that to make the rhyme work. See a handsome fella.
My glands will sweller.
See a handsome fella, your trousers will be yeller.
Yeah, but ideally you'd rhyme it with the handsome as well.
Oh, see, okay. You've learned a lot from your pants go yeller. You've learned a lot from battle rap.
That's it. See a handsome fella, make your pants go yeller.
Oh man, I've been served.
Yeah. Enjoy your meal, Pierre. You've just been served.
What have I been served when I get served? Myself, I suppose.
Yeah, what does one get served? I guess
you've been served.
Yeah, because that sounds good. I'm like, oh, great, thank you.
Thank you, I've been waiting.
Do I leave a tip? Is it customary in this country to tip?
Don't forget to tip your battle rapper.
I'm there looking up the Lonely Planet guy to battle rapping. Tipping.
It's like a little prospectus with a kind of blurry shot of a mid-motion hand-throwing rapping guy on the front.
Do you do that when you go on holiday? That's the first thing I look up, is whether or not tipping is a thing.
Oh, really? Yeah.
And sometimes they'll be like, tipping is not commonplace in Malta. And it probably is in Malta, but whatever. And I'll go, yes! the best one is Japan. I know we talk about Japan so much, but in Japan, they will chase you down the street with 2 yen if you've overpaid.
Really?
They won't accept a tip.
That must be, yeah, that must be one of the most on-brand things that you do.
Me? Look up restaurant etiquette.
No. Like looking up the thing and going, yes!
Oh, yeah.
You're like a squirrel-like obsession with sort of avoiding tolls in a way.
Oh yeah. Oh, you're saying I'm a miser?
It's not miserly because you don't you spend money on stuff, so you can't be miser. You do I buy do. Things. You know, you're not like in a shack with nothing nice. But you have that like something to do with tolls or like avoidable expenses.
Right. I've never noticed this about myself.
I think so. I think any expense like a...
Are people saying this behind my back? Oh, there goes Phil, avoiding another toll.
Oh, there he goes. The toll avoider, we call him. I think there's two sides of the same coin. There's a side of the coin where you go, yes, I don't have to tip. Because technically, you don't have to tip in countries where it's normal, but you accept that it would be rude not to, right?
Yeah. And would... financially.
Yeah.
My words are failing me.
Inconvenient?
Kind of, yeah.
Fuck over. Sure.
Someone, yeah.
Yeah, and you understand it's been built into the local economy and blah, 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 the presumption of a tip. So, like, you're not against tipping because you're doing it when you are seeing it as the rules ask you to.
Yeah.
But when the rules don't ask you to, that's a big bonus. And the other side of that coin is how much you hate avoidable fines or losses of money.
Oh yeah, that's a big one. I mean, when I first moved to London, I remember I got fined like the one day I didn't take my Young Princess rail card out was the one day I got inspected on it. I had to pay a fine of, and because I'm using it on my Easter card, you know, tied to my Young Princess rail card, which people don't know you can do. You save a third on your under your TFL travel. A third. And they don't advertise this. You got to do it, guys. If you've got a Young Person's Rail card and you live in London, tie it to your Oyster card. I'm pretty sure it's better value for money than contactless. Yeah. Anyway. I didn't bring it out, my Young Person's Rail card, and I got fined for using a Young Person's Rail card tied Oyster. And it was like £75 or £65 or something.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh. And so for the next 2 weeks, I was like, I have to save £75 somewhere.
No, yeah, and see, this is the thing. This is what I'm saying.
And so I would hope to catch myself wanting to buy something that was £75, and then I would be able to go, no, I can't have that. So I've denied myself that, and I've made up for the fine, which was a glitch. I think I see those things as a glitch. So I find sort of like a glitch in my life that I have to fix. So right. If I got fined, I've got to fix the mistake. And so next time I purchase or that amount comes up, I'm not allowed it.
You do this kind of weird mini Lent.
Yeah.
In your own mind.
My theory is that I've played too many video games in my life. And so my first instinct when I make a mistake or do something wrong is that I want to reset, I want to reload a save point.
Okay.
But because I can't do that yet, Mr. Bezos, get on it. But for now, I can't. And so I have to try and negate the mistake some other way. I have to cancel it out. I'm getting better with this.
I've managed to view it as that is the cost of me not doing it again.
Right. So the cost of the lesson.
Yeah, so it's like
yeah,
I
that's
was
a good way.
So it's like I was always gonna fuck up this thing. It's just that now I've done it, I need to be like, okay, I've paid to never do that again.
Does that make you a fatalist though, to believe that you were always going to make the mistake? Because that's what drives me mad, is that I could have done something a little different and I wouldn't have made the mistake.
No, I accept that there was a statistical chance that the mistake would that okay, so there's a statistical chance that the mistake could be made, right? Every day.
Yeah. You forget your URL card.
Exactly. But now that I've done it and had a bad thing from it, that statistical chance is vastly reduced.
It is reduced, yes. Yeah, yeah, that is a good way of looking at it. And I think I look at it more that way now.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
I've paid to lower the dice roll.
Yeah. Yeah. I think about that like my back injury, you know, when I pulled my back quite badly.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think, if only I had lifted that weight correctly. But then I think, well, if I hadn't hurt myself, you know, I've been so careful ever since. If I hadn't hurt myself, would I just done it at a different time? Or would I have done it at a point of my life where my body would be less capable of recovering?
Yeah.
You know? And yeah, you have to look at it that way. But for a long time, I didn't see things that way. And oh, man, it's hard.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Oh, you can't live in Regret Towers.
Oh man, I am the superintendent of Regret Towers. I never leave. I lock up every night when everyone else goes home.
You've got a big ring of keys.
Yeah. Yeah, when there's a noise in the night, I have a big torchlight and I go, who's there? That's me in Regret Towers.
Quiet out there, I'm sinking. My regrets. You live in like a penthouse at the top. You're the super.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, the only superintendent who has the penthouse.
Yeah, yeah. You're the super, but it's because you bought the building when it was cheap.
Mm.
Ah, sure, a lot more people interested in moving into Regret Towers these days. I remember when this area was, it was a slum. Yeah, Regret Towers is hard to leave. It's like Hotel California.
It's hard to leave California.
Hotel California.
Oh, Hotel California, yeah, you can check in. Anytime you like.
Yeah, that's that's right. But yeah, I think that those two things are the same side of the coin. There's something about like little points or money points, or that's -7, you know?
Yeah.
That's +7.
Yeah, I'm really bad for it. I'm really envious of people who like lose a bit of money and then go, oh, well.
I think it also always depends on how much money they had to start with, of course.
Yeah.
What's really impressive is when someone doesn't like... Well, it's not impressive. It's like kind of terrifying, but I guess you shouldn't be able to shrug off a certain amount of loss if you don't have that much more than the amount you're losing, right? But then some people can still do that. They're just immune to the feeling.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, yeah.
Well, you'll never be a gambling addict.
That's true. I mean, we play the occasional poker together, and I'm very... If I lose enough money, I just go... Well, I can't play poker for a while now.
Until my mana recharges.
Yeah, man, gambling addiction is a brutal thing. I don't get it myself. I could never do it, but I understand addiction. I'm addicted to chess right now. I'm definitely addicted to chess. I play chess a lot at the moment.
Yes, gambling addictions are harder to comprehend because from the outside they look like someone feeding money into a negative equation. But it's all about the thrill and the love of the game and the odds and maybe this could work and the self-harm of it all.
Yeah.
The glorious juicy damage, Phil.
Well, I'm currently reading and I've been reading it for a while. And it's why part of the reason why we were talking about regression to the mean recently, but Daniel Kahneman's Thinking Fast and Slow.
Oh, yes.
I'm reading it slow. but it's all about biases, and it's all about human biases and how our human brains are always ignoring statistics. And we just go for what we feel, what we think in our individual case, and we extrapolate individual cases to embody a general. But we never use a general to inform the particular. So if you meet one person, say, who is... we meet one person who is from Luxembourg, and they're really rude to us. It's very easy for us to go, people from Luxembourg are rude. But if we read a statistic that said, people from Luxembourg are very rude, and then we met a friendly Luxembourgian, one of the few friendly Luxembourgians, we'd go, oh, that statistic is wrong. Luxembourgians are actually very nice. But it's incorrect.
Yeah.
You should always follow the statistics. But our minds are not, you know, we're not attuned to following statistics. We follow our own experiences and the stories we make.
On the presumption that the statistics are correct, of course.
Yes. Yeah, that's a heavy assumption, of course. Yeah.
Yeah, I've got that book, and I've read sort of bits of it, and I cannot think of any other book where every chapter is a life-changing revelation that I almost immediately forget.
Yeah, you just kind of have to stick with it. It's one of those books where I'm reading other books while I'm reading it.
Yeah, I remember
quite long
reading it, and at the end of every chapter, I'd be like, "What?" And there'd be like some stuff would be quite complicated, and there's a nice little summary at the end of every chapter, and I would go, "My God, the scope of this. Well, if you could just master this, then..." And then I could feel it, like, draining from my mind. I could, like, liquid just coming out of a sieve. Just blah, blah, blah. And as I was saying, well, now that I know this, I are potato apple pie. Blah, 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 blah. I could feel myself going stupid again.
Just turning back from man to mud.
Yeah, just turning back into this gorilla going... having just elevated myself to the status of a sort of god.
That's what, when you realize what makes, like, these people geniuses.
Yeah.
And an economist like Daniel Kahneman a genius. It's like you read one of the chapters and you go, oh, yeah, I get that. I guess I'm very clever. And then the next day you've forgotten it. And you realize, oh, he has this entire book in his head all the time.
He always knows this.
Yeah, exactly.
He doesn't need any help from anyone to know this. Like that book I was discussing, but the one about how it has a chapter that says time isn't real.
Oh, yeah, I need to read this one. That's by the Italian guy.
Yeah. The guy who was the co-wrote or co-made Tenet. In some way. He was like the advisor, or he inspired it, or what's-his-face rang him up and said, I like your book, Science Man.
What do you say we turn it into a talking picture?
Quantum, the movie. the idea that there's just this sort of cheerful, sort of middle-aged Italian guy just kind of boop, 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 boom, just going around, has a little sandwich, and just in his head, he's just not the knowledge that time isn't real and that time space is granular.
Yeah.
And then he's just like, oh, I think today I'll have a latte. Like, he could just exist.
it's a similar... I have a similar perplexed feeling to someone like that as I do, and maybe I've said this before, of seeing like a crazy street preacher. Like, an obviously insane person. But who has their shirt buttoned up and presumably got up that morning and brushed their teeth and made themselves breakfast and went, ugh. Like, did all that and then just got onto the street and went, he's coming to kill us all!
Do you think, while in the morning while they're brushing their teeth, they're doing like vocal, like, Satan! No, that's too high. Satan! Oh, there we go. Like, me, 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 me. And like the wife is like straightening his tie. Have a good day at work, honey.
Oh, I always do.
Give him one for me. And she's like she looks like the wife from the fucking Jetsons.
Oh, yeah.
you know?
Judy Jetson?
Judy, Nearby yeah, his Jetson, wife. Judy? His no, no, Judy? Jane. Yeah. Jane, his wife.
Jane, his wife. Yeah, Jane, his wife.
His wife.
Yeah, that's a funny that's a funny rhythm. Jane, his wife.
verging on panic. Jane, his wife. Don't say anything. What an amazing cartoon to have like three sexist jokes in the intro.
Oh, when she pulls the cash out of his wallet.
yeah. And this guy's like I something quite addictive about 1950s to 1970s media is just the idea of like obviously there's sexism and then there's racism in some of them as well. But the relentless certainty that every man is just miserable and hates every element of his life is sort of astonishing in its consistency. You think, isn't there one show where the guy's like, he's just fine? And they're like, no. He hates his wife. His children are awful.
Maybe it's because maybe it's something about comedy having to be some sort of inversion of society. And so in comedy, in funny situation, the guy is the powerless one and the wife holds all of power.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting looking back, isn't it? All these shows where it's like even the Jetsons or the Flintstones or any of those where it's like a guy with a job who's like, yes, Mr. Spacely, no, Mr. Spacely, and having to like get kicked around and he's not paid enough. And it's from an era when an entire house with no mortgage was 2 years' salary.
Right.
It was like the easiest it's ever been in history to be a landowner.
Oh, yeah. The quality of life was unbelievable.
The guy who managed your local McDonald's, his wife and kids didn't have to have jobs.
Yeah, and all the sitcoms are about clocking in for another day at the office.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, I'll be here, dear. I don't need to work, remember, because you make so much. Yeah. Bye.
You make so much money that I'll be here perfecting our home we own.
For you to come back and complain about how hard everything is.
Yes, for you to come back to a fully made, elaborate dinner.
In a beautiful, huge house.
That you own.
Must be worth millions now.
Yes. Yeah, that you've bought in an area that's going to be heavily urbanized over the next few decades in a kind of gentrifying way. Or
your boss is coming over for dinner. Why, I only have this huge open-plan kitchen to make that dinner in.
What's the dinner? Why, it's the most expensive meats in the world. And take 7 hours to cook them, and I have all that time. Yeah, they're just complaining.
Speaking of, have you watched WandaVision?
No, everyone's been creaming their jeans about it. The sprinkles I've received through my feeding tube on Twitter look delicious.
It's good. It's so interesting. It's two characters from the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and they're without spoiling anything, they're in an old American style sitcom.
Yeah, and it's Vision and Scarlet Witch. Is that right?
Wanda.
Was she Wanda
Maximoff? I think the name of the character is. Like not very interesting character in the movies. I never cared about them. I found them quite boring. But this show is pretty good.
Is she Scarlet Witch or is she her own thing?
Oh, I don't know. I've
There's
given
too
up.
Many.
I've given up. Yeah, it's too many.
It's like Pokemon.
Yeah. The Marvel achievement is extraordinary in the amount of detail and the diversity of characters. They've somehow managed to get the world to follow. The world. It's unbelievable, their achievement. I mean, and WandaVision is such a weird show. The concept is so out there and so bizarre.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable that, well, one, the TV show that would ever be made. Two, that would be made on Disney Plus and would be made with characters that have been in billion-dollar grossing mainstream films.
Well, that's and it. It's
at
so
this point,
big.
Marvel have done so well, they can just fuck around. Whereas
but that's the
DC,
overspill.
DC haven't even got the first film correct. They even got their Avengers correct. They're still good. Duh, maybe Batman and Superman have the same mum. What? Meanwhile, Marvel are bending the form, and people are letting them because they've smashed the rest so well already.
But it's just it's overspill. When something is so successful, the overspill is still like 0.00001%. But when it's such a big whale, that little bit of blubber.
What do you mean?
So like,
oh, the overspill of fans who would follow something like WandaVision.
Fans, budget, revenue, you name it.
Yeah.
They can literally look at it and go, okay, a quintillionth of the people who like this could enjoy this, and it would still make double what it costs to make.
Sure.
Done. You know.
Yeah.
The margins must be nuts. Absolutely nuts.
Yeah.
The only thing that stops something like Harry Potter being the same is the fact that lots of the character names or words are different in different languages. But even then, you're probably still like, I bet you there's something weird, like in the Vietnamese parliament, someone's referenced Quidditch in a metaphor, like that kind of level of insane yeah. penetration of like fiction that is objectively for children.
Yeah, I love reading sort of things about how like comic books are sort of they have all these actually very mature themes and they can do now, but there's a thread of like comic book almost academia that tries to find these original significances and meanings in the beginnings of these superheroes, like when Superman was just created, when Batman was just created. You know, Superman was, you know, he was created by Jewish immigrants to America. It's about immigrants, it's about an literal alien being in America, but finding themselves to be powerful, and they are celebrated on the one hand, but also rejected by society on the other. And I just kind of go, I think it's just a guy who's really strong. I think it's just a guy who, I think they came up with a guy who's really strong, and we've loaded it with meaning afterwards. And that's fine too. Well, there's no need for us to be all Adam Curtis about the start of comic book culture.
But then we get into the territory of like, when does it matter if the author knew what they were doing? Or
exactly, yes.
But I get a bit more sick of the... I mean, obviously comic books or graphic novels can be, you know, amazing and fancy and, you know, Alan Moore and all the rest of it. But like, yeah, there's a certain type of convention attendee that is sort of like feels the need to write some rambling blog about how whatever minor Marvel character they love, their arc is like Shakespeare worthy and always like great literature and the same. And you think, come on, man. Come on, man. He shoots lasers out of his hands. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's a different thing. It's just a different thing, and that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of cool stuff. Like, the themes within the X-Men are cool as well.
About being ostracized from society.
But also whether or not you're like Magneto or Professor X, right? Resistance or trying to work with.
I see. Interesting, yes.
And then obviously, canonically, Magneto is a concentration camp survivor.
That's right. That's a great one. The first of the newer X-Men. The one, was it First Class?
When he's in the bar.
Yeah.
The Alpine pub.
Yeah. That's great. That's really good. I think that's the best X-Men film.
Magneto, Nazi Hunter.
Yeah, that's good stuff. That's good stuff. It's... I know this isn't... how you say woke to say, Pierre, but I feel bad for the Nazis sometimes because like it's the only person in a historical movie where you can have them on screen just like literally mutilated and people in your audience will go, yeah, get him. And it's like a close-up of Eli Roth machine gunning Hitler's face into a pulp.
Yeah.
And people don't even look away. They're like, yeah.
Pour it in my eyes.
And I'm not trying to express any solidarity with the Nazi cause here, but you know, if you're like a quiet Nazi, or if you're one of these alt-right guys watching these films, you must feel a bit like, oh, you must feel a bit uncomfortable.
I love the idea of a neo-Nazi leaving a screening of Inglourious Basterds and going, ooh, gives you the shivers.
Yeah, I didn't like that. I mean, the first scene was great, but that's how sad ending was a bit.
God,
I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, leaving with dabbing their eyes with their armband. Oh God! Oh, really sad about it. Do you think neo-Nazis hate the fact that Magneto survived a concentration camp? Like, they hate that he's sort of implied to be Jewish, or do you think that fits with their insane conspiracy theories? They're like, yes, that's what we think. We're kind of on board with this metaphorically. We just don't agree on what direction.
I don't quite understand.
Well, they think Jewish people are like secretly superpower villains who run the world, yeah. Right? So that's they're not against that conceptually.
Okay.
They just want to win.
And presumably they'd be happy with his vilification in the X-Men universe.
That's true, yeah. That's an uncomfortable thought.
Hmm.
Put him in the plastic jail, yeah, get him!
I mean, the funny thing is, like, the average Nazi accent probably isn't that anymore.
No, it's like a sort of...
Yeah, put him in the plastic jail.
Get him in the jail, boys. That's right. Make his handcuffs out of wood. I don't know. Or it's just like a guy from... I mean, let's face it. Luton.
Yeah.
Probably Luton. Yeah, exactly. Whereas, like... Yeah, that's true. The continental fascists now all have kind of... Well, they've got their own logos, and they talk in more abstract terms, don't they? They've sort of a bit swish now, the continental fascists.
Well, I mean, Europe always does that, don't they? They make things a bit more fancy.
Yeah, well, I mean, you've actually seen a Nazi in the wild.
Yes. Yeah,
As illustrated by Lumps, the illustrator, who's great on Instagram.
Yeah.
Check him out.
The Tube Nazi.
The Tube Nazi, that's right.
And I probably asked you this before. He had a swastika just on his head. Can you not get arrested for that?
I
guess in Germany, not here.
In Germany he would. It's not illegal to just have one.
Right.
But I mean, these people are
Prince
always...
Harry had one. Prince Harry had one on his fucking sleeve back when he was, you know. How old was he when he was at that party?
I'd love it if he... he wore it to the interview with Oprah.
We just think the royal family's a bit racist, actually.
They just... they wouldn't let us dress however we wanted. I felt very repressed. It's... It would be amazing to have a chat. Like, what are they? How do you become a neo-Nazi, really? Now, you know,
it's not like fucking internet. I guess it starts with one. You start with one grievance about something very particular to your life, and you end up down a rabbit hole that eventually you build this chain of influences and events and causes that links your own personal difficulties to this greater.
Conspiracy. So to some extent, I think that loads of these people, the anti-vaxxers, the neo-Nazis, the lockdown conspiracists, all of these people, they just want to be able to walk around with a head full of secrets.
You mean they enjoy believing that it's all a conspiracy?
I think they enjoy it. Obviously, they are, you know, actually motivated in, you know, by racism or whatever. It's not that they aren't sincere, but I think a lot of the appeal is them going like, I know the things. And if you knew the thing about me, then I'd be in trouble. But I'm not. I'm like undercover.
Yeah. I mean, it's the equivalent of what we say about the far leftists who don't want to win. It isn't about winning. It isn't about changing things. It's about feeling you know something other people don't.
Or and having
you're
a club.
Part of an important fight. Yeah,
I'm in a big fight. And Yeah, LARPing. It's like LARPing.
Mm.
Like like when you see all those American fascists wearing like tactical gear they've bought from an army surplus.
Yeah.
And they're always just the most splendidly fat men.
Splendidly.
Yeah.
Those vests are in army surplus because they didn't fit any of the actual soldiers.
Or when you see this like bulletproof vest that's like a third the size of this fat guy's chest, and it's like, you're really hoping they aim for the vest, right?
Yeah, you're protecting one ventricle at this point.
One segment of your hyper-enlarged liver is safe from an imaginary bullet from a police force that is more similar to you than it is to any other segment of the population.
Mm, yeah. Isn't it nice having so little news about America at the moment?
It's like America has... It's like America's deleted its social media.
I mean, it literally has. It literally has.
Did you see Donald Trump is suing or making a legal demand that the Republican Party stop using his name and face to raise money for itself?
Really?
Yes. He's saying you don't have any rights to my image. You can't do that. Because he's a brand.
That's hilarious.
Isn't that amazing? He's already like slapping their little hands away from his pockets.
Because some of the Republicans who were flirting with denouncing him are now sort of back on. Are they back on the wagon?
They're pretty back on the wagon. The only ones who aren't are the ones who want to run themselves.
Yeah. This is something I'm not sure of. If he wins another term, that is his second term done, right? You're only allowed 2 terms, and yeah. Even if they're split apart.
Yes.
All right, okay. Yeah.
Yes, the last person to do 2 terms but split, I think, was Grover Cleveland. Grover, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. He loved groves.
Groving about town.
That's right. But has there ever been a group more, I'm going to say it, Phil, cucked than the Republicans by Donald Trump?
It's embarrassing.
He burst in through the doors, took everything from them, personally insulted them and all of their wives, and in some cases their dead fathers, made them still support him for 4 years, exploded and left.
And they're still like, come back, daddy, please. It's funny for a party so heavily identified, identify themselves as being the party of freedom.
Yeah.
Liberalism, as in bigger liberalism, as in being in charge of your own destiny, to be completely beholden to the whims of one man.
And the party that's supposed to be like, we're tough, okay? And we don't need any... It's all about self-reliance. Tough decisions. You know, and strong values, Phil. If anyone messes with me, then who?
And all you need in America to succeed is the grace of God, a strong spirit, and rights to the Donald Trump trademark.
Yeah. And then, yeah, Donald Trump just shows up and says... to Ted Cruz, your wife's ugly and your dad killed JFK. Which he's like, he literally said, you got an ugly wife and your dad killed JFK and you're a fucking loser. And then he's just like, do you want me to suck your dick now? Or what does he say in private? I'm obsessed with what these people say in private. They must know. Ted Cruz went to Princeton or Harvard or one of them. He's not dumb academically. Yeah. Unless he was a legacy. Maybe he just got in because he could afford it.
He might have been like a George W. Bush Harvard person.
That's true, actually, yeah. Where they just went, guy who should be like running a karaoke bar, we're going to teleport you into Harvard almost to see what happens.
There's a wing that's made Yale, he's your Yale. Dad, so you can, yeah.
The dad wing. We're putting you in the dad wing. You know, like Harvard and Yale and Princeton.
You're
the
literally
dad
under your father's wing.
Yeah. You know that the dad wing of Harvard or Princeton or wherever is where all the best parties happen, because those guys have nothing to lose. Okay, guys, that is enough Bud Pod for this week. We hope you have a good week. Freedom is coming.
Bye, everybody. Bye. Stay safe.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.